Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time year-round, and we have a lot of fun doing it. We cover all aspects of basketball. We have some great guests on always, and we're going to have a great one tonight by popular demand. People love hearing from this guy, and when you hear him tonight, you will know why. And, of course, he'll have his famous question for me as well, which he comes up with some great ones. But I am Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. That's only one C in there. Or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. I can't even get that right, and I should know my only own name. But, as I said, we got a great guest on tonight, Kip Ione. You've heard him before. He's the head men's basketball coach at Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, the capital of Oregon, and also a member of the Northwest Conference. And, Kip, how you doing tonight? I know you probably got little butterflies not dealing with me, but you're going to open your practice in less than 2 hours.
That's right, Greg. I'm in the office on a different speakerphone, so hopefully everybody can hear me the same, and excited to get going here in less than 2 hours. It's always a great time of year in middle October. As much as I love football, it's hoop season now, so we can get dialed in and get on the court.
And, you know, before we talk specifically about what you want to accomplish in this first practice, Kip, I want to ask you talk a little bit about the preparation for this practice. Do you have a student manager? Who takes care of the basketballs? Who's got the practice jerseys? And I think I want to emphasize the fact that in small college, Division III, you don't have 25 managers and 25 managers like Division I.
Boy, it's funny you say that, because I was just in the gym with extension cords, cameras, cones, everything, with my dad, who's in town for the start of the season, and my staff's arriving. And I said, Division I, we don't have any GAs or assistant managers taking care of this stuff for us. Division III, you got to get it all set up yourself. My staff, you know, they do a great job for me. Unfortunately for me, all of them have full-time jobs. I got two teachers on the staff, another mortgage officer on the staff. So there's a lot of prep work that we need to do, you know, via email, via phone, when we can catch each other at night. And then once the season starts, you know, a lot of the stuff that maybe in some other places assistants would set up, that falls on me just because of the nature of our setup. You know, when they get here, I want them to be able to jump into coaching and lend their expertise in all those areas. So that falls on me. And we also divide it up with the players, you know, by class. Freshmen have to do such and such, sophomores, juniors, even the seniors got to set up the shooting gun because, you know, they want to get their shots up. So we divvy out the duties and make sure the facility is ready to go, and it's really a team effort at Division III.
Jeff, when you walk out of that gym sometime in the early morning, what's going to cause you to clench your fist and say, we got this done tonight, and I'm happy? What's going to make you happy out of this first practice?
I think unleashing some of their competitive energies that they've been holding up. You know what? You know, you can do some stuff in the fall. They can play open gym. They can do stuff in the summer. But it never really matters until they got a practice jersey on, until they get that Bearcat claw on their chest and the scoreboard's lit up. It'll be exciting to get rid of those first day jitters. I'll be excited to see them be able to get after and compete against each other with us in the same gym at the same time. And that'll help me get to bed. But then I'll probably turn on the film earlier in the morning, and then I'll be upset about something. So, but that's the nature of us coaches. We're never pleased.
Kip, I asked you this before about the first time I interviewed you, but I'm going to ask you again right now because I think it's an important question. Your 14-15 team was in the playoffs last year. How much is that going to contribute to this season? Is that just last year, and it's a new year? Obviously it is. That's kind of a dumb statement on my part, but is that a confidence builder to carry over?
I think what it was a driving engine in the off season. You know, I think the guys that were here and experienced it really got a taste of what success is like in this league, and that helped them get out of the bed for early weights or get out of their comfort zone, turn the video game off, and get shots up, because they remember that feeling of the big wins from last year and also the loss at Whitworth in the semifinals. And I think that same success drove the recruits, number one, to be here now as freshmen. Because they want to join in on some of that. So I don't think it's necessarily we wash it all away. It's not going to help us at all. There's no point carried over from last year as far as on the scoreboard. But I think the mindset and that driving engine as far as their motivation is really founded in what we did last year.
Kip, you know, as far as motivation, how about does that carry over with the student body? Do you get a lot of questions mm-hmm. about the team? I mean, I know Willamette always has had a strong alumni base, but how about as far as carrying over?
Well, I think we see it on social media. You know, that's a great tool of social media. You can track who's actually paying attention to you. And, you know, throughout this week, whether we were putting up pictures or videos of us getting the balls ready or the jerseys laid out, we got a lot of retweets, a lot of likes on Facebook. You know, so there's a lot of people aware that we're starting, and I think a lot of people excited about what they saw last year and our potential to kind of recreate some of that excitement on campus. And with the way the volleyball team's playing right now, the way the women's soccer team's playing, there's a lot of good things happening on campus in the fall, and that could be a great slingshot for us to carry that momentum into the winter.
What has you most concerned about this 15-16 team?
I think it's managing, you know, from our side as a coaching staff, I think we've done an excellent job in the last couple of years bringing in some really talented classes of recruits. But now all those kids are in a position, they've been in our program, they have an expectation, and I think it's a good problem we have, but we got a lot of depth, we got a lot of talent. And there's only so many plane tickets they can get on that plane for the first trip. So I think the way we structure practice to make it as competitive as possible, and I don't think you can ever make things equal, but I think you could make them fair as a coach, and to make sure we give every one of our positions, all the way from the first guy to the fourth guy, a fair shot at showing what they can do in the early part of the season. You know, and I think we'll spend a lot of time these first three. We call it sorting week for a reason. These first 3 days are going to be very heavy, scrimmage heavy. Fundamentals of what we do as a team, offense and defense, and then we let them play and we stat it, we film it, and we try to get a depth chart, an early season depth chart, as soon as we can after this sorting week. So there's a lot of pressure on the guys this even tonight. There's pressure, but I think that's good. You know, you want to go to where pressure lives, and if we can make that in our practice setting, I think we're setting them up for success later on.
Kip, as you prepare for your first game coming up in November, which is better for you personally, to scrimmage against your own team, to scrimmage among yourselves, or to scrimmage mm-hmm. maybe another team if you had that opportunity?
Right.
Which is more beneficial?
I think it's a timing thing. I think the first 2 weeks for us, we'd like to keep it in-house. And go against each other as much as we can. And then probably this year we're lucky enough, our alumni game on the 1st of November is in a perfect time for us to evaluate where we're at against, you know, it's an alumni team, and some of those guys are old, but some of those guys are also very, very competitive. They've added basketball savvy when maybe they've lost some of their lateral quickness over the years. But that's a good early test against somebody else. In the past, we've also had a D1 exhibition in that time frame. This year, it's a little later on in the year. So I like the first 2 weeks keeping it in-house and then finding a way, whether it's an alumni game or a JUCO scrimmage, to go against another color. Because right around that time, they get sick of playing each other and they want to test stuff against somebody else.
You got a nice compliment from probably my closest friend in the coaching arena in basketball, is Cliff Wagner at Clackamas Community College, who I think him and Danny Miles are the most successful college coaches, you know, in mm-hmm. the state at the present time. And Cliff had some raving things to say about you, about how much he enjoyed talking to you this summer and how impressed he was. So I just wanted to pass that along because I've known Cliff a long time. He doesn't say something unless he means it.
That's
He's
right.
not
no,
there to
I appreciate
pop anybody up.
That's right. That's high praise. Absolutely. You know, Coach Wagner's done a great job at Clackamas. He's a legend. You know, his teams are always going to be relevant come the tournament in the NWACs. And so that's always nice to hear. That's part of the fun of coaching. Whether you're a young guy like myself in the business or you've been doing it a long time, there's always something new to learn. And coaches like that that take time out of their day to meet with you and be in settings. We were just at a barbecue exchanging stuff about offense, defense, practice setups. That's the stuff that gets me pretty excited as a young coach who still wants to learn.
Yeah, and Kip, and along the lines of going tonight at midnight, I'm going to ask you about that in just a second, but what is your preference? Do you have a preference as a coach, an ideal scenario, what time you'd like to practice, morning, afternoon, evening?
You know, that's funny. I'm so used to here at Willamette, you know, with the faculty doing us a huge favor a number of years ago, opening the 4:30 to 7 o'clock window where there's not very many classes scheduled. So we've really kind of centralized the usual time of practice. If I had my way, now this wouldn't happen to Division III, because Division III, we absolutely are about the student athlete and we let them schedule their classes and then we figure out practice around them. I think 10 or 11 o'clock in the day is a perfect time. You get them up, you get them fed. There's a little bit of energy there. Get them through practice and off to class. If I had my magic wand to change a lot of different things. But we've been fine with 4:30 here. And like I said, the faculty did us a huge favor in athletics and giving us that window for open practice a couple years ago. So we've been able to really centralize it. Really, this midnight tonight is just because Coach Ione can't wait anymore. I got to get going. You know, if the opening whistle is at midnight, we're going to go. I can't sit around. The guys would probably prefer sleeping, but I got to get up and get going. Let's get it out of the way.
Now tell me right now, is everybody there getting ready to roll? And
Well,
obviously
the
they're
staff is
getting
here. We're
antsy.
here. The guys, we'll let them roll in about 11, 11:15. They'll start getting their stuff on. But right when 12 hits, boy, there might as well be fireworks because we're going to be off to the races.
And of course, they're coming off probably studying their chemistry and physics books.
Oh, I heard. I have a lot of early labs in the morning, so they wanted to know exact time we're going to be finished. You know, they got to calculate their beauty sleep sometimes. So, but they got a great handle on things. You know, they're Willamette kids for a reason. They got time management skills, and they hopefully had plenty of time today to get their academic stuff done and maybe get a nap in before we go.
Kip, for people listening around the world as they are tonight, we got people listening, and here we go again. Let's see, let me just quickly, I think 16 countries, that's pretty spectacular.
Wow. That's awesome.
What kind of style do you like to play?
Well, you know, we want to be able to attack. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we press a lot, but boy, defensively, we like to get after you and disrupt what you do. And then offensively, I don't want to call 100 different sets. I don't want to be up with, you know, different hand signals for every single situation. We really want to instill in our guys the ability to read and react and make sure the defense is always wrong. Whatever they do, we have a good feel for what we're supposed to do. So we try to get our guys in space. And let them play, but also make those individual breakdowns to go get a play for somebody else. So we're trying to get in gaps and kick, get in gaps and dump. And if that doesn't work the first time, we'll do it again the next time. So I'd like to say we're not as up tempo as Whitman and George Fox in our league, who will press you the moment your bus rolls in the city limits. You know, which is a great style. It fits what Bridge and Mako believe in. And we're not as slow as some other places, but they're, you know, Coach Cleary, Coach Dickerson at PLU, they're very deliberate and very good at that slower pace game, and it's very physical. So we're trying to find the happy medium that we can compete with both those types of games. And I think it's something our guys have really bought into.
Do you are you going to talk about goals for the season tonight, or do you let the players determine that themselves?
You know, they've got it already. You know, our leadership has posted our, you know, the things you would hear from a lot of different teams, what we want our conference, where we want to get in the conference, the postseason, home record, you know, rivalry wins. Those things have been in their locker since March, you know, so they've had those to kind of drive them. We have a weekly focus. It's almost like a advertising campaign. You know, there's a special halftime segment brought to you by Wendy's. We have weeks of practice brought to you by a focus. So this week's focus is we're not trying to be perfect. We're trying to be together. And I think there's a difference there. And I think a lot of guys can get caught up in making errors and making mistakes and forgetting that's all part of the game. Stay with us, compete with us together, and we can all get through not being perfect. There's not a team in America that's going to play perfect. Well, maybe Kentucky. I saw their players in action. They might be able to be perfect.
Well, if they didn't play perfect, Coach Calipari will tell you they played perfect, though. So anyway, hey Chip, you know, this is how popular the segments I do with you have become. I haven't even put the email address out yet, which anybody can email me a question that they want for Kip at any time. And we got a little news about how we're going to continue our stuff with Kip at the end
all
today.
Right.
But you can go GregCrawfordBasketball@gmail.com, just like it sounds, one word, GregCrawfordBasketball@gmail.com. So I got a couple questions from listeners tonight.
I'm ready.
And they obviously missed before. So here we go, Kip. The first one from Roger in Tucson, Arizona, and this is a really good question. He wants you, in your own words, to talk about the difference between Division III and Division I basketball players. That's a good question.
That's a great question. And I think people get bogged down sometimes, especially players. You know, I think parents and alumni have an idea of the difference. But players will think Division III, automatically their brain goes to no athletic scholarships. That means no talent, no ability. They think it means bookworms that show up on the weekends and just throw the ball around. Division III to us means 3 inches. So a point guard, a post, a wing at Division I is probably 3 inches taller and 3 inches more explosive, whether that's vertically or laterally. The IQ, basketball IQ is very similar. The drive to compete is very similar. The skill sets as far as the actual shooting ability, handles, all that is very similar. You're just going to have a big problem when I sub 6'5 in and Boise State later in the year goes 6'8", 6'9", and all those guys can jump a lot higher. So I think that's a lot of it. I think Division I, if you watch the game, there's a lot of spacing and isolation plays to take care of the actual individual talent they all have, which is smart coaching. Let the guys play and try to guard him. Division III, you're probably going to see a little bit more complex is the wrong word, but detail-oriented systems where the system might produce more of the offense than the individual players. Not that there aren't great individual players in our league. I mean, ask Whitworth, all the players of the year they've had that can take over games. But I'm really impressed with the coaching at our level in terms of ability to get guys that maybe aren't great individual creators, ability to have their systems and their schemes really find them spaces to shine. And that's what keeps me up at night as a coach that really believes in defense, is trying to match wits with all these great coaches we have. And then you add in, you know, the D3 caliber student, you know, they can get some really good schemes coming against you because kids can pick it up. So I think that's probably the big thing. We always say D1 is 3 inches explosively and tall compared to us.
All right, you'll love this question too, Kip. It's from Doris in Burns, Oregon, a proud Bearcat alum. She put,
all right,
this is a really good question too. She says she's sick of the different types of uniforms. She wants Bearcat colors on the floor. How do you feel about that?
I can respect it. Now, we do have every Bearcat color represented. We have a white, we have a gold, and we have a cardinal. We just happen to have the gray and the black alternates as well. I got it. I totally respect what Doris is saying. We've got the Bearcat paw and the face, the official logo on all the uniforms. But the recruits these days really like those alternative colors. So I can find a happy medium for her. And if she comes to a game, she can email me and let me know which one we have to wear, and we'll wear it because we've got all options available on the table. So that probably means she saw our uniform unveil video where we showed all the different combinations we have for the season. So I appreciate her, and I understand the question. I get that from a lot of alums as well.
I will tell you that Doris listens all the time. I can guarantee you that. So you're going to be wearing her favorite color when she comes
to the
game.
That's right. We're ready. Tell her, let me know, and we'll call it Doris game night, and we will be in the color she wants us in. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what's fun. That's what the great part about Division III athletics is all about. Okay, let me take this time right now for the good and the bad of the program. As I always say with all the coaches, I know you're going to ask me a great question. I'll probably give a bad answer. Fire away.
You know, going into practice, I think as coaches, you know, we're always trying to figure out what's a tempo setter. If things are going south, what kinds of things can get a practice back in? I know you've been in gyms forever. What are some of the best practice saver type drills or activities that a coach has done that you've seen bring a practice back around to where it needs to be?
Actually, the one that I've really seen that stands out that Coach Wilson did it at Linfield, I think
okay.
it was two tweets on the whistle, and that
okay.
meant that the first person to grab a ball got to shoot the free throw, and everybody went down both ends and shot a free
yeah.
throw under game conditions. And I like
I
that.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. We got to put it in.
It just came out of nowhere. Yeah. Yeah, that
I
is
like
a
it.
Great question. Hey, and I want to throw this in right now for all the Bearcat listeners and beyond. I want them to know, Kip, I know you're a huge sports fan. You were preparing for practice. You might not have seen this, but one of my closest friends of all time, Dale Scott, lives in Portland, Oregon, major league umpire, 30 years, got the call right today in the
That's
Toronto,
I heard. I
Kansas
saw the Twitter
City game.
Yeah. They said, at the end of the day, that call was right. I saw it on Twitter. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hats off to Dale, who is a huge college basketball fan. So, hats off to Dale. Throw a little levity into the program.
I love it.
As
I
always
it.
Like to do. Okay. Now we're about an hour. Are you feeling a little different on the inside since we started the program? Because now we're about an hour and 37 minutes away from the first practice.
Right. You know, and I think I get the most probably about 10 minutes to go. You know, right now it's still, you know, crossing off boxes on my to-do list as far as prepping for the night. But once we get down to everything's ready and we just got to start, probably that last 10 minutes is when I'll have the butterflies. And it's more nervous excitement than anything else. But that's typically my game day pattern, too. Once everything's ready and I got the suit on and I'm just tying a tie and we got about 10 minutes till we walk upstairs, that's when I'll start to feel the jitters a little bit.
Now, you led me now we don't talk before this, correct, Kip?
Right.
Now, here we
go.
Right,
we don't.
I, how does somebody from Willamette get a Linfield guy's phone number? Because here comes a text in, a question for you, and you alluded to it there. What is you and your staff's preferential clothing style for games?
Yeah, excellent.
How do you like to
That's
attack
awesome.
That?
Well, number one, the wives all get a vote per game on who the best dressed is. So there's a little competition involved. And at the end of the year, you know, whoever wins that, the rest of us owe him a beverage of choice, so to speak. We like to go. We used to be in the past. We had some polos that we wore on the road. They were nice. But we just decided, you know what, we're going to wear full suit and tie at home. We might alternate with a sweater vest and tie combination. But on the road, we'll go suit and jacket, but no tie. But we also, in the league, you'll notice we always wear Nike Air Force Ones, matching Air Force Ones with every suit. So we're very business on the top, but we have comfort on the bottom so we can get up and down and walk the halls. So everybody will notice that we all have Air Force One, black Air Force Ones with all of our suits.
I love that. I love that dress combination. I'm a big fashion guy. You know, my dad worked for
yep.
Janssen's for 30 years before he died, 6 months from his retirement. So I've always been into fashion, the famous Janssen company. So very good. Kip, first game besides the alumni game, talk about that. And when will you really
mm-hmm.
start getting into the first opponent? When do you like to do that?
Yeah. You know, and I think I've evolved in that. In that method, you know, so we play McAllister from Minnesota here on November 13th is our real opener, and then the next day is Southern Oregon. In the past, I think as a young coach, we got bogged down with details about both those teams at certain days of the week, you know, with a Monday through Thursday preparation for a Friday, Saturday. At this point, we won't even talk Southern Oregon until the shoot-around day of. It doesn't work for our group to have a split focus. So we'll do always for us, Mondays is all about us. We don't speak about the other team. Tuesday, we'll start talking specifically that week about McAllister. Wednesday, we'll fine-tune it, and Thursday will be about us again. So when we go into Friday, we've had 2 days of us, 2 days of them, and I think that's a good methodology for what our guys, how they can focus and stay focused on certain tasks. Throughout the preseason practice time, we're putting in aspects of what we'd like to do against McAllister. We're just not going to bog down their brains with, hey, remember this, we got to have this down for it. We're not going to do that. We're just going to get it in, get the offensive install, defensive install in, just because we need it. For a coaching staff, we know it's probably specific towards what we want to do the very first night out, but the guys don't need to worry about that. They just need to worry about where they need to be at certain times.
A question about your home game, Skip. I just kind of knowing you as I do and getting to know you better. I imagine it's always important not only to get alumni out, faculty, students, but young people, get them out to the game, see what Willamette basketball is all about.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think last year we had a great showing all year from the student body. Even though going in the expectations weren't very high for the team, we still had great support from all the different athletic teams on campus and the regular students. So the louder it can be, you know, they got T-shirts, they've got a section they get to sit in. Our SAC does a great job here at Willamette, you know, publicizing everybody's games. We've got a good social media presence. But I think it's easy. You take a look at who's won this league for a decade, Whitworth. And that's the best home floor environment in the conference, and that's not a coincidence. You know, that absolutely plays into things that help teams win at home. And if you can win at home in this league and find a way to split on the road, you got a chance to do things. So it's exciting time for us. We got a great promotions lined up. The first opening game, the first 200 kids of the game are going to get free tacos, a free taco certificate from Tony's Tacos. So hopefully that'll drive. You know, kids can eat these days, and college kids can really eat. So if we can get some food in their system when they come in, hopefully they'll be rowdy and ready to go for when McAllister sees us.
Very good. You know, I'll let you just have the floor. We got about a minute left. Say whatever you want.
You know, I really appreciate being on the show. I appreciate all the listeners, and really the reason it's a great platform for me is to brag about our guys. You know, all the stuff that we talk about on here, Greg, you do a great job throwing me questions that can really relate to how good of a team as far as people we have, how good of a staff I work with. So anybody that has a chance out there to see us, all of our games are live streamed on the internet, whether it's through our system, Bearcat Channel, or through the NWC teams we play. I think you'll see a great product with some great people. And never hesitate to contact me if you want to talk hoops or talk about our guys and our team.
Very good, and I might add that leads a good chance to lead in that we have secured Kip to be on the last Wednesday of each month at the very least. I'm sure
he'll
be on more than that on this program, 10 o'clock Wednesday nights, and that'll be year-round, Kip. So,
questions ready for you, though. That's a lot of questions I got to find for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's a lot of added pressure. So, very good, Kip. I know I'll let you go. You got a million things to do probably before you get ready for midnight. Have a great practice, and we'll talk to you very soon, and at the very least, the last Wednesday of the month of October, which will be here before we know it.
Thanks, Greg. Greatly appreciate it.
You betcha. That's Kip Iona, the head men's basketball coach at Willamette University. If you can't listen live to this program, you can always pick it up on the podcast. Thanks for listening tonight. Spread the word about it. We always love new listeners, and we love our old listeners, in quotes, as well. Good night, everyone, and don't forget to make your free throws.